Cinnamon loves, 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 cinnamon loves. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho onegai shimasu. These are words of Vasubandhu, the second of our Pure Land Masters. Well, Tenjin Bosatsu no okotoba desu. O world-honored one, with the mind that is single, I take refuge in the Tathagata of unhindered light, filling the 10 quarters, and aspire to be born in the land of happiness. Sesson gaishin kimyo jinjipo muge ko nyorai gansho anda koku namam davuts namam davuts namam davuts namam davuts. Good morning, everyone. Minasan ohayou gozaimasu. Wonderful to have you here this morning on our Thanksgiving weekend. Did you all have a nice Thanksgiving? Yes, very good. I see lots of smiling faces. People ate lots of delicious food. Maybe got a little sleepy and took a nap, perhaps, maybe. Yeah. So what were you thankful for this weekend? Anybody have anything that they're particularly thankful for this Thanksgiving time? You're thankful for Dad? That's... Oh, Shad. Okay. Thankful for cousins. Very good. Very good. Anything else? Yeah?
I'm thankful for my cousins being with me.
Thankful for your cousins being with you? That's wonderful. Lots of people thankful for family. Yeah, Haley? For family. That's right. Lots of people are thankful for family. Yeah? I'm thankful for family, too. I'm like, Haley, I don't have any brothers and sisters. Is anybody here thankful for brothers and sisters? Thankful for siblings? Yeah, Nicole is? Nicole is? Yeah, that's right. So today, I wanted to share a story of two brothers who were very thankful for one another. And one of those brothers was named Vasubandhu. Vasubandhu. So we have Vasubandhu's portrait is here on the top right-hand side of that scroll that hangs there, in the on the far left, you can see we have those seven portraits. And a few weeks ago, we talked about Nagarjuna. He's up there. And the other one up on the top is Vasubandhu. Vasubandhu lived in a place called Gandhara. Gandhara. Those of you who joined us for our field trip to the museum, did anybody come on the field trip to the museum? I think a few of you, I remember going that. And remember there was a statue of a Buddha head that was sort of just by itself, and it had very kind of sharp features and kind of wavy hair in a top knot on the top of its head. That was a Gandharan Buddhist statue. So it was a place in what's now Pakistan and Afghanistan, and so part of the kind of larger Indian cultural world. So Vasubandhu and his brother were from this place called Gandhara. So they lived in India about 1,600 years ago. So they lived a long time ago, but even like today, they had brothers and sisters back then, brothers, and so they had a good friendship, good relationship, but they were very far apart in age. So Vasubandhu's older brother's name was Asanga, and Asanga was born when their mother was just 15 years old. So back in those days, people got married a lot earlier than they do now, and so she had her first son when she was just 15 years old. She was married to a member of the warrior class, like the Buddha, right? And so she was married to one husband, and then he passed away, as sometimes people pass away. And so she married again later on in life, and she had her second son, Vasubandhu, when she was about my age, when she was 40 years old, a little younger than me. But so that she had these two sons, and they were 25 years apart, right? But they were still brothers, and they had a lot in common, having the same mother, but also having the same common interest in Buddhism and the Buddhist teachings. So they both became monks, And they both lived in that area of Gandhara and also in Kashmir, which is a part of Pakistan and India now. And so they lived together, and they were both very good students, very good students. And so they were studying the Dharma, and Vasubandhu was famous. He was famous for studying what is real and how we understand what is real. So sometimes, have you ever seen something and thought, oh, I know what that is, but it turns out it was something different? Have you ever like been at a store or been somewhere and saw something and you called out someone's name, you say, hey, Tom, hey, Tom. And somebody kind of was like, who's Tom? It's like, oh, sorry, I thought you were somebody else, right? Maybe somebody has a similar haircut or they're wearing the same kind of jacket, right? And so in Buddhism, there's a traditional teaching. It's called turtle fur and rabbit horns. Turtle fur. Now, have you ever seen a turtle before? No. Yeah, a few people have seen turtles. Do turtles have fur? No, they don't. They don't. They're reptiles, right? Amphibious reptiles. He does, that's right. And what do they have on their back, right? They have a shell. Some are hard, some are soft. But on that shell, where do a lot of turtles live? Turtles. Where do turtles live? Yeah, Doma? Land and water, right? And so turtles who spend a lot of time on the water, sometimes something green and kind of stringy starts to grow on their back, right? Can you guess what that is? Algae or moss, maybe. And if you see it from a distance, you might say, hey, I've discovered the furry turtle. Wow, I'm going to get my name in the encyclopedia. But if you get up close, say, oh, it was just moss, right? Same thing with rabbits. What do rabbits' ears look like? They look like horns, right? They stick straight up, kind of like antelope horns or something. So sometimes people might see a rabbit from a distance and say, wow, look at the horns on that rabbit, right? But if they go closer, they see it's just the ears, right? And so, yeah, Dilma. Okay, right. So you see that? Sometimes you see people, you think it's one person, but it's somebody else. And so Vasubandhu said, our minds are like this. Everything that we think is real is basically made up by our mind, right? And so we have to look very closely. We can never just assume that what we see is the way things are. And so this was Vasubandhu's way of studying the Dharma. He looked at everything. And then he said, well, is it real or is it not? And he examined things very closely within his mind. He studied very, very hard. Studied very hard. And he found it's very difficult to really see things as they are. And that's what we try to do. Can anyone read these kanji up here at the top of this one? A few people can. Yeah, can you read those, Cole? What's that? It says kenshin. Right. Kenshin. Ken means miru. Miru means to see. Shin means makoto, right? What is true, truth, right? So to see the truth, that's what we try to do. And that's what Vasubandhu, he worked very hard and he was very good at it. But still he found, I can never really see what is really true because my mind is always playing tricks on me. But so he continued to study and he was having a hard time finding the way to enlightenment. Then one day, he happened to meet his older brother. He said, oh, hi, bro. I don't think they called each other bro, right? He said, hi, Asanga. Hi. Hi, Nichan. Good to see you, right? How's it been? Oh, and Asanga said, I've discovered something wonderful. I want to tell you about it. Does anybody have an older sibling who's taught you a better way to do something? Yeah? Did you listen? Did you say, oh, okay, I'll do it that way? Or did you say, no, my way is the best? Right? Vasubandhu was a very special little brother because he listened to his older brother. And Asanga said, you know, I've discovered there's another way we're traveling on this journey, this path to enlightenment, and we've discovered another way to become enlightened, another path. It's called the Mahayana. It's the great vehicle, the great vehicle. Rather than trying to get enlightened on our own by just constantly looking within our own minds, it's like a big ship that will carry us to enlightenment, right? A few weeks ago, we talked about this, the difference between traveling on land and the difference between riding in a boat. So the word Mahayana means big vehicle. You know what a vehicle is? A vehicle is like a car, or a helicopter is a vehicle, an airplane is a vehicle, a boat is a vehicle. So it's a big vehicle, so everybody can ride on it, and it will carry us along on our journey. And so Vasubandhu said, a big vehicle, that sounds great. What do I have to do? Do I have to examine my mind very closely? Will I become enlightened just for myself, by myself, within my own mind? And Asanga said, actually, it's a little different. In the Mahayana path, we try to become a bodhisattva. And a bodhisattva is one who becomes enlightened along with everybody else, for the benefit of everybody else. And how do we become enlightened on this Mahayana path? Well, we receive the support of the Buddhas. We receive the support of the awakened ones who have come before. So Vasubandhu said, this sounds very interesting. I'll look more deeply into this. And the more deeply he looked into it, the more he examined this bodhisattva path, he realized that this is the wonderful way. Because not only am I going to receive the benefit, but everybody's going to receive the benefit. So think about your Thanksgiving dinner, right? Did anybody have turkey at their house? A few people had turkey, right? Did you eat that turkey all by yourself? No, right? It was better, it was more delicious when we shared it all together, right? And so awakening, enlightenment, the benefits of Buddhist practice are like that. They're more delicious. They're more fulfilling. They bring us greater happiness when we share them all together. So that is the path of the Mahayana. And so how do we receive that? Well, we receive it from the directing of the Buddha's virtue. We say that Amida Buddha, it's like he had prepared a great feast for all sentient beings, for everybody. He prepared this giant meal, and he said, I want to make sure that everybody gets everything that they need. That's the heart of the Mahayana. Not just, I'm going to get this for myself, but I'm going to share it with everybody. So it's a teaching about sharing. Just like Asanga, the big brother, shared with his little brother Vasubandhu, this teaching, this path to awakening for everybody. Right? And so we receive that teaching by entrusting, by single-mindedly recalling and thinking about this great generous heart of the Buddha. We receive that generous heart in the words Namo Amida Butsu. So Vasubandhu says, with the mind that is single, just this one single mind of entrusting, this one single mind of receiving the gift, this mind of itadakimasu. Did you say itadakimasu before you had your big meal? Right? Itadakimasu means I humbly receive. Right? And so from the Buddha, we don't receive turkey, right? From the Buddha, we receive peace of mind. Just like when you're hungry and you eat something, I feel much better. If you're hungry for truth, if you're hungry for freedom from suffering, from freedom from greed, anger, and ignorance, you receive the Buddha's teachings and you're at peace. So single-mindedly, just simply, receive this gift from Amida Buddha. Take refuge in Amida Buddha, the Tathagata of unhindered light that fills the 10 quarters. Everybody, everywhere gets to ride on this big vehicle and aspire to be born in the land of happiness. Namo Amida Butsu. These are the words of Vasubandhu. This is the heart of the Nembutsu. So Vasubandhu lived 1600 years ago in Gandhara, spent time in India, taught this teaching, and it still resonates today. Just like us, maybe he had a big brother. We all have somebody who shares this teaching with us and helps us to encounter these words, Namo Amida Butsu, that bring us peace. So this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm grateful for all of you for coming here to share in the Feast of the Nembutsu with me. So in conclusion, I invite you to join me in Gassho, and let's hear these words of Vasubandhu once again. O world-honored one, with the mind that is singled, I take refuge in the Tathagata of unhindered light, filling the 10 quarters, and aspire to be born in the land of happiness. Sesongaishin kimyo jinjipo muge konyorai gansho andakoku. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.